the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host today is MJ Crowder. And MJ, for the listeners who did come and share our open house, I hope they had a great time. And for the ones that didn't, they missed some pretty spectacular things.
You know what?
And good cookies.
And good cookies. I can't believe our little studio held so many people.
And we had Archbishop Tobin here formally dedicating our new facility here. And, well, we want to thank him very much for taking time out of his busy schedule to come and help make our new home a really great home.
Yeah, it's listeners, Jim and I have mentioned this several times in the last few weeks, but if you have not had the opportunity, please feel free. We're opening up our doors. Please feel free to come visit us, 8383 Craig Street. We are in the heart of Castleton, Suite 280, and feel free to give us a call. Once you get here, you'll have no problem finding us afterwards, but 284-1491 or our other number, 870-8400.
We hope to have that number back again very soon. We've had that number for 10 years when we were at the pyramids, and when we moved, everyone assured us, oh yeah, you can port that number over there, and you can, but but it's not as easy as you might think. It's not like calling somebody and say, would you please do that? No, there's a little bit of paperwork and a couple of hoops that you have to jump through, but we're well on our way through those. But the temporary phone number again is
284-1491, 284-1491. And just around the corner, any minute now, you will be getting an invitation to our dinner, which is coming up February 25th. Pretty exciting. Father Rick Nagel, he's such a wonderful priest. He's going to be our keynote speaker. 71st and Keystone is our venue. And this is a big deal for us because 10 years Catholic Radio has been on the airwave in Indianapolis for 10 years, and we have two stations now.
Yep.
So
we're just really thrilled with the way it's gone. And we had a few weeks ago, we had a little photo opportunity here at the station where Bill Shirk of Hoosier Broadcasting was in, and Bob Typen, chairman of Catholic Radio, exchanged that last check.
That was big.
And that was the last check for about a $2.25 million buyout for 89.1. It was a lease purchase over the last 10 years or so, and had that formal check exchange just a couple of weeks ago, and that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
There's a picture of it on our website.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Father John Hollowell, and welcome, Father.
Thank
Father
you.
Hollowell.
It's awesome to be here.
You know, I knew he's from Annunciation Parish in Brazil. But there's lots of things you've got your hands in, Father. So as I was driving here this afternoon, I thought, you know what? We cannot cover it all in one segment. So if you promise to come back for part two, I'd really like to do two segments this week and next week.
Happy to do that.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So we can take a breath and know that we're not going to cover it all this half hour. We have one more half hour. So let's get started, because there's so much that we need to get into. First of all, tell us a little bit about you, Father Hollowell. I'm particularly interested in where you grew up, what part of town, brothers, sisters, mom, dad, where does everybody live?
Absolutely. I grew up on the south side of Indianapolis, and member of Nativity Parish for basically most of my life, and went to school there and went on to Roncalli High School. My mom and dad have had 11 children, and I'm the oldest.
11 so, children.
11 children, yeah.
And you're the oldest.
And I'm the oldest.
The yeah. only vocation so far?
Yeah, I have another brother. Well, we like to say everyone has a vocation, but
I like that.
The only one so far that's been that's pursued religious life. I have another brother that's in the seminary in Rome and would be ordained in 2 years, I believe.
Oh my goodness.
He's getting close, and he's getting excited.
Where is he in the birth order?
He's number three.
He's number three.
Two brothers. There's five brothers at the top of our family, and the first five were all boys.
Oh, God
and
bless your mom.
Yeah, yeah. And so two are married, and two are priests or pursuing the priesthood. So,
you know, yeah. I think that's wonderful. When you say five brothers, I smile because I'm number 12 of 14, but the first four were boys. And then she had a few girls and then five more boys.
Yeah.
But to have five, and again, keep going. God
yeah.
bless her.
Well, yeah, everyone thought, you know, that my mom and dad, I think we're going to, you know, having children just to have a girl. But then there was, you know, five of them. So, yeah, that wasn't a good theory.
So that was belied. I love that. Put to rest. Okay, so Annunciation Parish in Brazil. So for our listeners who are okay,
and that's
like
Brazil,
me,
the city, not but, the country.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For those people who, like me, I'm putting myself in that category, I wasn't quite sure where it was. Where is it?
Yeah, Brazil, Indiana is out on US 40.
Okay.
Just
so that's Meridian? Is that Meridian? 41's Meridian. Which one? Ew.
Yeah, 31's Meridian.
31.
So 40 runs east-west. It
Washington.
Runs out towards Terre Haute.
Washington
Street.
There, I know
yeah.
it was close.
That's
Washington.
The national highway.
Right.
40?
Right.
Yep.
If you get on 40, if you get on Washington Street here
Washington
in Indy,
Street,
and you head
yeah.
about an hour west.
An hour
before
west?
Before you get to Terre Haute, you'll come to Brazil,
okay.
Indiana. Yeah. So.
Okay. Not very. How big is Brazil?
There's about 9,000 people
okay.
there. It's
okay.
not bad.
Okay.
I actually kind of grew up, a lot of people think, you know, a lot of people from Brazil think that I hate being there because, you know, I'm from a big
yeah.
city. But I actually grew up in kind of more of an area, like a part of Indianapolis that's more like Brazil than it is downtown Indianapolis.
Okay.
So it's
a little community.
A little community.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like
yeah,
that.
It's nice.
Okay, so do us a favor because I love this. I love stories, and I think that most of our listeners do too.
Sure.
And our listeners won't know this, but there's a lot about you that we're going to get into in this segment and the next one. But you've actually written a book about my next question.
Oh, okay.
And since the year of the priest, we always ask Jim and I ask if the priest would share their vocation story. And yours kind of turned into a book, which I want to get into in a little bit. But give us the cliff notes
okay.
on your vocation story. Because oldest of 11, I'm imagining that your parents had a lot of expectations for you.
Yeah, no, they did. They were, I never felt... like any undue pressure, you know, I don't think, to do...
Like, to be an engineer
to do
or a
one
CEO.
Thing or the other. Yeah,
okay.
right, yeah, right. It was always... but we were homeschooled early on for a few years, and so that kind of helped us. You know, they did expect us to work hard, you
sure.
know, and so forth. But, yeah, no, I had gone to school. I always told everyone I wanted to be an engineer, and that seemed to make everyone proud of me and happy, you know.
Sure.
Okay, he's so smart. Or, yeah. You know, he's gonna go make some money and
sure.
be, you know. And I went to Purdue and I felt a calling there early on that maybe I was supposed to be a teacher. And so I switched majors
okay.
to education and math education, and did that. And ended up transferring to Hanover College because I wanted to play sports, specifically
okay.
football again. And so I did that, and Hanover was awesome. Great experience, and continued with education. But while I was there, I kind of had this realization that maybe God was calling me actually to the priesthood. And that was really through just reading scripture. I was kind of I was a Catholic who did enough to get by. I went to Mass in college, which was, I guess that's
a
good.
Bit unusual
yeah,
anyway, because a lot of times kids fall away a little
right.
bit in college. I mean,
right.
you're not under your parents' thumb and
yeah.
you party Saturday night. And
so know. I said it was like God kind of keeping me just within striking distance,
okay.
You know, going to Mass on Sundays, but didn't really do a whole lot else. But I had a really awesome experience at a Bible study that I went to one night and started reading scripture. And over the time, realized that I just felt this call, really, is
so
the best way to say it.
Okay, so but being away at college, so you're at Purdue and Hanover,
right?
There, a lot of girls. I mean, I've always thought this. I don't know that I've asked too many priests this, but they are a pretty distraction around school, and that's, you know, I mean, did you do much dating? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, it's part of the story, really, and I was all ready to tell my family and friends my senior year at Hanover that I was going to go to the seminary eventually.
Okay.
And then, but one night our football team went to a volleyball game for Hanover, And I saw out there a young lady that I was just like, I've got to meet her.
Yeah,
you know, it's
sure.
kind of one of those lightning strike things. And realized, I remember telling my roommate, you know, I'm gonna go meet her. And he knew I was on a mission. And I thought the whole priesthood thing at that moment kind of suddenly faded into nothing.
Oh, sure.
You know, I was just like, oh, well, that was a weird phase I was in. And now I found, you know, my wife
right.
and all this. And even though I haven't talked to her, I don't even know her name. But
I love it. Well,
yeah.
You romantic you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
So did you track her down?
I did. Yeah, okay. I mean, not in a weird way, I don't think. But eventually.
But she introduced yourself or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It took me about 2 or 3 weeks to kind of work up the courage. But so anyway, that was a really interesting time and ended up being a really good thing. I for a while, the priesthood thing obviously faded into nothing, but it started to come back.
Yeah.
And as it did, I was up a lot late at night. I couldn't sleep real well, trying to figure out, you know, what God was wanting me to do and so forth. And then I finally kind of came to the realization that God wasn't telling me, you know, like, if you don't pick the right thing, then I'm going to punish you or something,
right.
you know. But it was just like, he was kind of saying, I think here are two options, you know, marriage and priesthood. And I'm not telling you, I'm not making you go one way or the other.
Free will.
I felt like God was kind of putting on my heart that the priesthood was where I was going to be most happy.
Right.
And not that marriage was bad or that, you know, but that this was going to be the way that I was going to be happy. But that, and so now looking back on it, I don't wrestle with that as much. Whereas maybe sometimes priests struggle with, you know, well, I wonder what that would have been like.
Right.
I kind of realized like I had that opportunity. God
right.
gave me that choice. And so I don't feel like I've been deprived of anything now.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father John Hollowell, he is from Annunciation Parish in Brazil, Indiana. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
This program is made possible by Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent, providing parents with answers to kids' health questions from a registered nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 317-338-KIDS. More information is available at kidshealthline.com. And remember, for answers to kids' health questions 24 hours a day, it's 317-338-KIDS, a service of Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father John Hollowell, Annunciation Parish in Brazil, Indiana. We talked the first half a little bit about his vocation story, and there's so much more I want to get into. I'm so glad that you've agreed to have two segments. You know, I wanted to ask you.
What about history before Annunciation Parish? I know people are familiar with you from other parishes.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, I've been, I actually taught for 2 years at Chittard High School and was a member of Christ the King, and then went to the seminary. When I was ordained, I was sent to Cardinal Ritter High School as the chaplain and a teacher and a football coach and all those other exciting things, and was there for 3 years. Also, that time I was at St. Malachy for all 3 years in Brownsburg as a helper.
So you've
priest.
Been around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something that I wanted to ask you is you were chatting and this question came up. So obviously the promptings of the Holy Spirit are here. We have had a number of young women who are nuns or in the process of becoming nuns. And one of them said something very interesting, that she had to go through a period of grieving for the children that she wouldn't have.
Hmm.
And then that was okay. And then she went on. God called her to something different, and she got more blessings, is receiving more blessings. Different blessings, you know, through her vocation as a nun, as a sister. And, you know, I thought, I wonder if a guy thinks the same thing. I mean, if the guy goes through a period of, okay, so you're not going to be married and have children, but is there a time in your discernment process or maybe in your formation process where you talk pretty honestly about letting go of the fact that you're not going to have children?
That's a great question, and I think I don't want to speak for all priests and all guys, but I think that it's probably less so for guys. I think another reason, too, is that as a priest, you know, we call priests fathers, and,
right.
but I really do. It's not just like, you know, some nice theological idea. I really do feel like I am a father, especially to, like, the younger kids and the teenagers that are in my parish, and I do a lot of the same things. You know, I fear for them. I worry about them. I try to teach them and prepare them for what they're going into.
Okay. Right.
I work with them as the servers or, you know, religious ed or whatever it might be. And so, whereas I do understand, you know, I mean, for for the women that are entering religious life, a lot of times they don't have that same interaction with young people.
Sure.
And so I feel like for me, I get, it's almost kind of like a grandparent. Like I get all, you know,
all the benefits, none of the stress.
I see my brothers that have children, you know, and I know, and I'm remembering my mom and dad, and I know how much work it is behind the scenes.
I love the fact that you're explaining that so gently, because I'm kind of seeing a shepherd. You're kind of a mentor and a shepherd and a father all at the same time. You know, I know that your vocation story, and we could have talked a lot more about that, but give us a little bit more. I know that you've written a book about this.
Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
I just named it How It Came to Pass.
How It Came to Pass.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just spend a couple minutes about that. But how did it come to be that you wrote the book? And then how have you marketed it?
How did
it come to pass that it came to pass?
Well, that's a great question. And really what it was, I was originally sent to Rome for seminary for a few years, and I ended up returning back to St. Minor. Archbishop Beeklein let me come back. But I was originally over there in Rome, and I was thinking, you know, in my first year, you know, my family and friends are missing out on a lot. Like, I can't email, you know, my experiences home all the time and capture it all. And so I started to think, you know, what would be really cool is to kind of put these together, my experiences together in terms of chapters, you know, kind of. And so how, and for many of them, I was thinking, you know, here's this guy, he's going to come back after being over in Rome for 4 years, and he's going to be ordained, and he's going to be a lot different.
Sure.
You know,
okay.
I mean, not huge differences, but you'll notice that he's different. And so I was putting myself in their shoes and wanted to give them something that would kind of explain, this is how this happened. You know, like, this is how this priest, like, became a priest, and this is how your son or your friend or your brother
a growth diary almost.
Kind of spiritual episodes of things that happened, good and bad, in the seminary. Some of them predating the seminary, you know, some experiences. My longest chapter is actually on football, my experiences with football and how that kind of led me eventually, I think, into the priesthood. And but most of it is, again, stories of growth and sometimes regression and then growth again in the seminary.
Okay, so
once you write a book, it's going to be around. The book physically will be around for a long time. Who do you foresee as reading this book, or, you know, at some point looking for a copy of it because they've heard about it?
Yeah, well, you know, originally when I wrote it, I only printed up 100 copies because I was just thinking what I'll do is I just wanted to give it to my family and friends.
Sure.
And so it was a really neat thing on the night of my ordination, or actually for my family the night before, I gave them all that, and they had no idea about what it was beforehand.
That's pretty cool.
So it was really neat, you know, that to be able to do that. And I wrote kind of like a handwritten note to each of them in the front and so forth. But then when I got into the high school, I kind of realized, you know, that there's nothing, like, I don't think that there's, like, you know, sometimes when you write a book, you hear somebody's written a book, you think, well, that's kind of arrogant, you know, or that's kind of like, maybe he thinks that he has, you know, this PhD or so, you know, or that he's got this special message.
Or that he might just have great stories to tell.
Yeah. And so for me, like, there's no new theological insights or anything in there. But I think that, you know, we listen to stories and we learn through stories, and sometimes we're not willing to listen to stories unless we know the person.
Oh, sure.
And so there are a lot of people who would never read what I wrote, or who would never read something from St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas, but if I bring that into my own story and share that with them, then they might be open to hearing that.
Right.
And so I kind of quickly realized when I got to Ritter as a high school chaplain that these kids might actually be interested in some of these stories. And so I printed some more and I gave them to some of my seniors and stuff like that. And then people started hearing about it and asking. And I said, you know, there's actually somewhat of a demand, you know, or nothing serious. So I've printed up a couple more, and I have about, you know, 200 sitting around in my office right now. And I just kind of, people will write and ask for a copy. And
well, this is like the greatest book that was never promoted, I should say, because I have been a Facebook friend of yours since our last interview, and I okay, so I think I read your post pretty much every day, but I don't remember you ever promoting the book, but I remember someone posting, hey, where can I get your book? I hear you wrote a book. So it was kind of like a sneaky little back door, and I thought, what, a book? You wrote a book?
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, though, because it seems to me kind of like a grassroots groundswell of, he wrote a book, Father John Hollabaugh wrote a book.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's out there. I'm going to tell our listeners that if you're just now tuning in, our guest today on Faith in Action, Father John Hollowell, we actually talked a little bit about his vocation story, which he's written a book about. I do want, and he has graciously agreed to stay for a second segment, and we're going to get into some very interesting topics the second for next week. but since this is actually running right after Christmas, I wonder if we could jump ship a little bit and sure. talk about something else just for a second. We have just come through kind of a pretty hectic time for a lot of people and pretty stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, December 26th hits and it's kind of a letdown, you know? I mean, the Christmas tree starts coming down and decorations start coming down. And it always makes me feel a little bit sad because when I was a kid, we celebrated after Christmas as well,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much until January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always feels a little bit sad to kind of the secular world and everybody out there is pulling everything down and we're back to regular music. And what can you offer to our listeners that will kind of carry us a little bit more, either theologically, spiritually, or what can we do to kind of keep it going a little bit? Because really, the celebration just started this week for us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you do it right, you know, this is the Christmas starts, you know, the Christmas season. I know it's kind of, you know, our society, it's weird. It's like we don't want to wait for things. So I don't know about you, but I saw some Christmas decorations. I was shopping for a hammer at Menards and it was like October, the first week of October.
Oh, sure.
You know, they had their Christmas display set up. And so I think we don't want to wait for things, and so we've been celebrating it since October, you know, and listening to Christmas music in our larger society. And so I think by the time Christmas hits, there's like this fatigue that's set in, you know, we've had the relatives and we've all eaten too much and all of these things. And it's like, I remember a few years ago, I come home to my parents on Christmas Day at some point and stay the night and head back on the day after. And everybody in the neighborhood, their trees were out on the 26th,
oh, sure.
you know, for the trash to pick up. And I just thought, wow, this is really sad. I think that, so one of the things I think that's important for us to really be able to celebrate Christmas is to, first of all, I mean, we have to hold back a little bit during Advent. I mean, that's how the church has kind of laid it out. I put out on my blog every year, it's kind of been like one of a favorite of people, that, and so I kind of repost it every year. It's this obsessive list of iPod, how to structure your iPod and listen to your iPod during Advent and Christmas so that you like save some things, you know.
Yes.
Not that you can't say the word Christmas before December 25th, but that there's, you know, there is this sense when you get to the 25th that, okay, something is starting now.
Okay, you did something. Okay, I'm not, we were going to talk about that next segment and we will, but
okay,
so I just pulled up that segment actually yesterday or the
day
before, and it was really cool about music that you should listen to the first until December 17th and then music after December 17th.
Yeah.
And I loved, because you did allow a little secular, you know, music after the 17th, December 17th, but man, some of that iPod music that you have, I don't know where you got it, but I asked Sharon Typen, who's the co-founder, wife of the co-founder, I said,
well,
you got to get some of the music to play here in the studio.
Yeah.
And actually, on my desk in the room, it says, Father John Hollowell, she got a CD or something of music that you've suggested or something.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. But that was incredible.
Well, there is some beautiful Advent music out there, you know, and I don't think we hear that a whole
lot.
We don't. But,
we don't. Where's a channel that you can listen to?
Yeah,
that?
Right, I mean, right. You got to go find it.
You got to go find it. I mean, I wish we could devote, I wish we had the luxury of devoting some time here to Catholic Radio, just a couple hours each day to beautiful Catholic music. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father John Hollowell, Annunciation Parish in Brazil, but we're not talking about your parish today. We've a little bit of everything, and we actually just have a couple minutes left in this segment, and I really want to get into some beefy topics next week. So you're going to have to tune back in, listeners, because I do want to talk about your blog.
Okay.
On the Rock.
Yep.
And I do want to talk about some sensitive subjects that you've brought up through Facebook and through your blog, homosexuality being one of them, because I think this time of year, well, not just this time of year, but this is a tough time of year for a lot of people, our families and our loved ones. And I would like you to talk, kind of address how the church teaches, really teaches about these subjects. But we just have a minute left, Father. Before we close out this segment, I would like to ask for your blessing. Sure. But is there something that you'd like to toss out there right before we close?
Well, just in closing, to kind of answer your question that you had about Christmas, I just hope everybody, another way to enter into this Christmas season, I think, is daily Mass, the prayers. There's some beautiful celebrations in the days after Christmas, you know, John the Evangelist and even the slaughter of the Holy Innocents and all of those things that are real important pieces of our history. That, and if we celebrate those, that can kind of keep us in the Christmas mindset. So the church keeps us on task.
I love that. Okay, could you offer us your blessing, Father?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon all who are listening today and all who are part of our Catholic Radio family. We pray that we may continue to spread the good news through this and all of the ways that God has place before us as opportunities to spread the gospel to all those who are in need of hearing it so desperately. And we ask you to bless us during this Christmas season and always. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And may the Lord's peace be with you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a topic or guest for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you.